we had started a bit of an introduction to the Masechta, and I think what we did so far, and then we took off 2 weeks for pre-Rosh Hashanah, pre-Yom Kippur, and some actual Yom Tov in between, so we got just a little bit of a hefsek, a good one, hopefully. So what we began with was so we're still in the same Marmakomos. What we began doing was discussing the Psukim in Parshas Ki Tetzé, and to try to show that while this is known as the Parsha of Kiddushin, it really focuses on Gittin and on the Isra of Machzu Grushaso in particular, and that the formulation in the Torah that's repeated twice of, again, using the Pasuk, Yikach Isha Uba'ala, V'haya Imlo Timsachein Be'inav, Kimatza Ba'erbas Davar, we'll be discussing this in a minute. So then comes the description of the get, V'kasav La Sefer Krisus, V'nasan Biyada, V'shilcha V'beiso. Then the next Pasuk, V'yatza V'beiso, V'holcha V'haysa Isha Acher, that's the second marriage, and that also ends in a divorce. And it's just very important to know that, again, the Torah uses the exact same expression. V'yatza V'beiso, V'holcha V'haysa, right, L'ish Acher, Usnea, Ha'isha Acharon. So here you come the language again. The Kosovo Sefer Priestess Vinasim Yada Vishilcha Mibesa. Okay. So what we were discussing is several things. Number one, that there's only one method of Gerushin as opposed to Kiddushin, where you have three methods of Kiddushin. I was suggesting that the Tur, Balaturim, and others consider that to be significant. Number two, that the use of this kind of description, the kasav sefer krisus v'nasan biyada v'shil chol v'beso is obviously very intentional. Torah doesn't repeat the exact same words twice practically within three psukim, unless we're dealing with some sort of a very rigorous definition. And I'll explain in a minute how, what these signified broadly. Otherwise, if I was to be expansive, we would be learning all of Masechet Gittin, pretty much in one night. We don't want to do that because we want to, spread out the pleasure, for the year. So I'll get back to that in just a second. But that the first big idea, I guess, is that the emphasis on Gerushin and the description of what it takes and how to define a get, all is related to the fact that Kiddushin is considered to be a transformative change, a real chalos. She becomes an Eshes Ish that, changes her status and stature. It creates an institution, not just, technical, laws, Hatterim and Isurim and Chiyuvim, but really when we call it a chalos, we mean like a real definition, a real status, something that is more than the sum of its parts. And the idea is that in order to extricate from that, if it should become necessary to do that, you have to take very rigorous steps, because you're not just undoing or unraveling or walking away from something. The thing that you have been involved in has redefined your status or the status, and therefore it's something that needs to be carefully and rigorously, through a very defined protocol, dismantled, step at a time in a way. So that's what the Kosav Sefer Krisus V'nasav Yada V'shil Chol V'beiso is really all about. So basically, if you want to understand the impact of Kiddushin, you have to look at the architecture and the mechanisms of Get, because the extrication is a reflection of the intricacy of what it is that has been built up, in this process of Ishus. So if you look at the Rambam, for example, in the very beginning of Hilchos Gerushin, which we have here in our Marmakomos, so at least we have the beginnings of it, so the Rambam says in Hilchos Gerushin, Perek Aleph, Ein Isha Mitzgareshes, Ela Biksav Shi Agiela, Biksav Zehu Nikua Nikra Get, we'll get back to that, V'yasara Dvarim, Hein Ikara Gerushin, Minatora, right, ve'elu hein. The Rambam says there are 10 fundamental requirements of a get, and then he goes on to list them. Many of them, flow from, this he doesn't say, from the terminology of the Torah, because of the sefer kriyas panos beyond the shilcha mi besa, right? The 10, I just, he lists them and then he analyzes each one. Shaloi garish ish el bertzono. She garish, because it has to be an act of choice. She garish biksav velo bedavar acher. Get to that. She yia inyan haksav she girsha vihisira bikinyano. It has to be clear that he means to end this marriage and to remove her from his, you know, from having a relationship with him. She yia inyano davar kores beino levina. That this be like an absolute break. There not be any kind of continued significant, you know, links between, you know, between the two of them. Sheyia nichtav lishma, that this has to be done in a personalized, you know, and in a purposive way. The get has to be written lishma, l'shem this particular isha, this particular nisuin, etc. Sheloyia mechusa maisa achak sivaso el nesinoso la, that the get, you know, once it's prepared, is ready to be delivered. There's no additional, you know, requirement, no additional steps, you know, that kind of disrupts between the chetza shel get, that's really the psula of mechubar, v'she yinasnu la, he has to hand her the get, v'nasan biyada, she yitnu la bifnei edim, that this be done in the presence of witnesses, she yitnena la b'toras gerushin, like he can't, you know, give it to her, say, oh, I have a letter for you, you know, like, you know, they always have these things with the, you want to subpoena somebody, I don't know if it's really true, but, you know, like, oh, you know, I have a gift card for you, haha, you know, then you walk away. You can't, sounds like I've done that before, no, I haven't. But, she nenala bitoras gerishin means she has to know what it is that she is receiving at the time that she receives it. V'sheyia habal o shlucho hushano sala, it has to come directly from the husband or from his shliach. That's the din that tli gitech me'algabe karka, that you know, if he puts it on the floor and he says pick it up and she picks it up, not that he puts it in her chatzer or that, you know, he gives it to her shliach, but you know, he, you know, in some neutral place which is not a chatzer, he puts the get and he down on a table and he says pick it up. That is not a proper gerush. That's called tli gitech v'algabe karka. It doesn't work. The shara dvarim shebeget kigon hazman v'chasima sein v'kiyotzim hakol midivrei sofrim. And then the Rambam goes on and says, "Minayin shasar dvarim elam mina Torah shenemar b'hayim lo tipsachein beinav v'kasav lo sefer krisus v'dasa miyad v'shulchan yveso." So then he analyzes, you know, each of these psukim. But you know, I don't want to do this right now because again, we want to leave something for the rest of the year. But the basic idea is, just, you know, even if you just look very quickly, that you know, the kasav, you know, the kasav l'sefer krisus, of course, you know, immediately tells you that you need a document, that you can't orally be megarish a isha. We'll get back to that in a few minutes. All of the, in my opinion, almost all of these requirements highlight the idea that you can't just walk away from an isha, so that the gerushin is not simply the absence of the kiddushin or the termination of the kiddushin, but to terminate, to dismantle kiddushin, to create a shame grusha, who is muteres l'shuk, right? You have to, as I say, you need a matir. You have to do things that highlight, you know, not just that the marriage has ended, but that it is actively being, as I say, dismantled. So part of that, of course, is v'kasav, that this is done al yidei ksiva. We'll talk more about it. You know, there might be other reasons to require ksiva, the sefer chinuch and the sefer batim. Some of them suggest that, you know, the kasav also takes time and it's a formal process. So in theory, it can kind of, you know, slow things down so that if somebody is, you know, just very temperamental, you know, and moody, so he, you know, wants somebody to act, you know, precipitously, you know, in anger or as a whim. So the process of, you know, some of these, you know, require a certain process. You know, you have to find a sofer, you have to do lishma, you have to do the ksiva properly, etc. Just like we find, you know, the principle of get mekushar, which is that sometimes they require like 3 ADIM, you know, special requirements for Aishas Kohen, because Aishas Kohen, as we know, if a divorce takes place in the context of Kahuna, even if there's no intervening other marriage, right, there's no Machzir Grushaso Beheter. So, you know, so that's why the, you know, the sugya, the end of Bava Basra, talks about the concept of a get mekushar, just like a ksuva in some respects, shelo, right, tehei kala be'enav, you know, lehotzia. So sometimes, you know, the, you know, in some cases it's the chachamim, like get mekushar. In other cases, according to the understanding of, one understanding of the chinuch and the batim, etc., it's even doraisa dinim, like the kasav might be about, you know, delaying or causing this to be a more deliberate and therefore a more, you know, more deliberate in that respect as well, meaning a more intentional, you know, action as opposed to against somebody who acts out of anger or out of, you know, some you know, ruach, you know, shigaon that takes over, etc. But of course, more than that, is that something that is done b'derech ksiva often leaves, you know, a trace, meaning there's a raya, we'll be discussing a lot, the relationship between the kinyan of Gerushin, the kona es atzma, meaning her, you know, becoming independent, and the raya, you know, of the Gerushin, of the get, meaning can you take a get to a bezdin, can that serve as evidence, you know, that she is muteras l'shuk. Those are two different issues. One is a get accomplishes a legal, you know, purpose, namely she's no longer married. In theory, these could be distinguished in the other direction. You could have something, you could have a document, you know, which is evidence of divorce, but it isn't a divorce decree. It doesn't do anything, it just proves that something else did something. And you could have a divorce decree that in theory, you know, ends the marriage or creates a shame grusha, but doesn't necessarily mean that, you know, it can serve as evidence. Depends how, you know, substantial it is, how compelling it is, you know, in that respect. So, but the kasav has the effect of, you know, potentially at least, of creating a raya. More than that, it formalizes, in addition to making it more deliberate and having raya, it formalizes probably things that you have to write, you know, where you need a document, you know, as opposed to like simply dibur bialma, are things that are more, you know, formal, frankly. So the kasav, and then of course law, which the Rambam, you know, is also underscoring in Sigamaras, and we'll have it very soon. Kasav law, law lishma. Now lishma in a get is different than lishma, you know, in a sefer Torah, you know, obviously. And it's different than lishma in a korban. It's even different than the lishma of shmira, you know, of matzos. It's interesting because the Gemara sometimes, you know, juxtaposes these different things, because they are also, as different as it is, and I'll explain the difference in just a second, you know, the fact that the same terminology is used, you know, implies that there's also an overlap, that there's a common denominator, which there is. But of course they're different. In the case of Sefer Torah, Tefillin, Mezuzah, Korban in another respect, you're trying to invest like Kedusha, you know, into something, and there's a certain intentionality, you know, again, you have to be purposive. You can't like, you know, just happen to go through the motions and, you know, poof, you know, you have the Kedusha Sefer Torah. You have to as I say, invest a Kedusha into a Sefer Torah. That's part of what Lishma is, Lishma of a Korban, etc. Obviously that, you know, a get is not a Darash of a Kedusha in that respect. It's an unhappy, you know, institution and document. But what I think the idea of Lishma and get is that it's about the, in my opinion, it's about the personalization of the get, of the Gerushin. I mean, you can't, you know, get a, you know, a mail order, you know, manufacturer, you know, generic, you know, get, you know, and how many, you know, Reuven ben Chaim's are there, or Reuven ben Shimon, or so you know, you have, you know, you can get all the names. It's like you go to those stores and you can buy the, you know, your, you can buy a, you know, a kippah with your name on it, because you know how many names are there. So you go to, you know, the get store, well, you know, or they do it for you, you know. So that idea is excluded by the requirement of Lishma. And again, the Gemara discusses this in the Masechta. There are even discussions, you know, it has to be, you know, L'shem Osoish, L'shem Osoish, you can say it was L'shem Osoisha, but not, you know, this husband, or vice versa. You know, that obviously none of that would work. And I think the idea is that you have to personalize the get. And you know, it's a personalized marriage. Every marriage is different. Every marriage, you know, has the potential to be a very unique bond. You know, this week's parsha, you know, we just read how you know, Zacharu Nekevah, you know, Bira'am, and of course Rashi quotes the Chazal, and Gemara has this, and you know, in Ksubas and Eruvin, and all sorts of interesting places, and there are other midrashim. You know, how originally the Ribbono Shel Olam created this, you know, two-headed, you know, figure, you know, Zachar and Nekeva, and then he split them, and then he underwent the process. There are different, you know, views exactly how it happened. Did it happen that way or other ways? Some people say that's why there are two Yetziros and the Sheva Brachos, but like, it's a very fascinating, you know, issue and question. But I always like to quote the comment of the Ramban in Bereishis, in his Perush al Torah, and the Ravid in the Bali Nefesh in his Hakdama, they both basically suggest that, you know, at least some of these Chazals should be understood as saying that, you know, while in the end, you know, it was perceived, it was deemed, the Ribbono Shel Olam deemed it better, you know, to separate Zachar and Nekeva, you know, and to for there to be Tardema and to create them the way that he did, but the original idea, in a way, was I was very idealistic, you know, and remains, you know, a kind of important symbol, and that's what the Ramban says, that you know, when the right people find each other, it's like, you know, there's a certain, you know, kind of destiny in terms of the bond that they were, you know, always supposed to develop. So by having, you know, this initial, you know, two-headed, I would say creature, you know, it sounds more like a Frankenstein than something good, but meaning the methodology of separating them in the Ezer Kenegdo, all of this obviously is a better way to accomplish it. But the idea that, you know, it's not just a functional relationship and, you know, an efficient one, but that this is, you know, really a defining bond, which is at the core of so much of Halacha's perspective on Kiddushin and Gerushin and Yibum and so on and so forth, like that, that's a very critical thing. So the idea that, yeah, well, we're going to get pretty soon to the, you know, last sugya of the Masechta, which I'm starting with, to this idea of divorce, you know, and how we look at it hashkafically because of how we look at it halachically. So, you know, the Gemara has this very beautiful description about, you know, Zivug Rishon, Zivug Sheni, that, you know, when a divorce takes place in the Zivug Rishon, that the Mizbeach, you know, cries. So, again, there are, you know, sometimes marriages have to end, as we'll discuss in divorce. And that's important, too. But, you know, there's a certain sadness, you know, in that. And therefore, at minimum, it's the Kasav La Sefer Krisis. You just can't, you know, give a divorce, you know, in a generic way, because the whole, you know, bond is a personal one, and therefore, even if you follow protocols that are objective and need to be objective, because that's what the halakha is, that's how you have standards and so on, there's a certain dialectic between, you know, low plug and everybody, you know, doing things the same and proper way, and at the same time, like injecting, you know, a personal dimension into the process. So it's v'kasav for many reasons. I'm not going to do each one, but and it's law. But what I'm trying to convey with this is not just a bunch of drashos, but These are these halachos, which are really at the core of Gerushin, they further reinforce the idea that we've been exploring, which is that the way that the Torah presents it, and of course all the dinim, highlight that get isn't just a way of ending a marriage, but that the details that give it a very unique status, and we'll see soon, especially also vis-a-vis what happens for Bnei Noach, because that's a good testing ground, not what they happen to do. That would also be sociologically and anthropologically curious, but what the halacha demands that they do, that's already much, much more important. Like, if the halacha has a perspective on non-Jewish marriage, then comparing that to Kedushas Yisrael, that becomes a tremendous window into everything. So we're going to discuss that in just a minute as well. So the Kosav La, and then of course it's a Sefer. Chazal say that that requires Sfiras Dvarim. There has to be a certain text. There has to be a certain clarity, in the get about what it is that is taking place. Sfiras Dvarim, and that has its own significance, and it's Prisus, as we discussed, meaning you can't. Marriage, either you're all in or you're all out. This idea that somehow you could continue to pull strings after a marriage, again, the details of this are discussed on the end of the Masechta. If you're megarish as a isha, chutz mi ploni, you say you can marry anybody except for ploni. That's a machlokas Rabbi Elazar of the Chachamim. And the question is, is there a difference between chutz? What about almanas shelo tinasi leploni? Is it more like a shiur shinyud vavresh? It's an incomplete get because it doesn't apply. It doesn't give a heter to all people. Or is it more even pragmatic? Namely, you can't pull strings. If you're no longer the husband, then even practically, even lamaisa, you can't bind her to some sort of condition. The details are very, very important. But the idea of a davar hakores beino levena, wherever you end up drawing the line, is important, because this isn't just an agreement. This, as I say, it's all about baal ki ishto and ishto ki baal, about them being a real integrated unit, or if not, and things end, then there has to be a measure of separation, that makes it clear that it's ended. So that's Sefer Krisus. Then of course the Nasan Biyada, already zeroes in on how the get, is delivered. You might say, oh, that, as long as she gets it, who cares, But we do care. We care really very deeply. So Nesina, whether Nesina is a Kenyan, whether Nesina is even instead of a Kenyan, something I hope we'll discuss. Ksos HaChoshen, a very famous discussion about this. Ksos HaChoshen says that the Nasan Biyada is very deliberate, and it means that even if the conditions for a technical, legal Kenyan are not satisfied, that there can be get simply by Nesina. What do I mean? So, for example, let's get the examples that he gives. You can, min haTorah, there can be a get bal korcha di isha. And the question is, can you ever have a kinyan bal korcha of one of the parties? Right? That's a question. A get can be written al isurei hana. Right? Let's say the paper, is from a certain material, or it was mudrano, whatever it is, that, can a kinyan be accomplished when the heft of the kinyan is isurana? That's a big debate. These are both debatable issues. The Ksos assumes that there's no kinyan bakarcha. The Ksos assumes that there's no isurana, no kinyan bisurana. Others disagree. Chaim disagreed on that isurana part. And then, of course, there's a famous, the Gemara has cases where we apply the principle of Gito v'yado boin kiachas, which is a, you know, catch 22 kind of a situation. Let's say you, let's say she only owns her chatzer, you know, if she's independent of him, right? But you throw the get into her chatzer, so, you know, does that work or not? You say that Gita v'yada no boin kiachas. That's a challenging, you know, kind of a question. So the Xos very brilliantly says that in his opinion, Gita v'yada boin kiachas only works in something like a get. It wouldn't work, you know, in like Kiddushin or something like that. Why? Because it says that you could get away in a get without a kinyan. Because the Torah uses the expression v'nasa v'yada, again, the same in the Baal Karcha, the same piece in the Xos. He says, if you really needed a kinyan, then the loop, you know, the catch 22 wouldn't work. You just, you know, you're always kind of one step ahead of yourself, or this idea that it all, you know, magically comes together, just, you know, doesn't work. But if all you need is nesina, which is a more, you know, concrete kind of an action, so then yitaviyada b'ayin ki'achad, you know, will work. So that's v'nasan. V'nasan b'yada, as we say, no kli gitech malgabe karka. He has to serve her in her hands or in her reshus, the papers. It's not enough that he say, pick it up. She can't be an agent, you know, in her own divorce either. You know, she has to be the recipient of the divorce. So again, all these dinim, Torah's gerushin, as we discussed, the nasam biyada, you know, the shilcha nibesa, which again is an active, not just a, you know, regular form, it would have been vishulcha. The shilcha means he, you know, he evicts her, he throws her out. PL.
So maybe that's
the Baal Kocha
comes into that too.
It's what?
Maybe that's an assistance for the
Baal Kocha
idea.
Could be.
Mean
Vishulcha. It's like it's a harsh, you know, PL, you know, form. So it's also just very fascinating. Vishulcha mibeso, also, you know, the idea that she has to be mishtaleches ve'eina chozeres. Like if you give the salah to a woman and she's like too young or she's incompetent, she doesn't understand what's happening, she's not going to leave. Like she doesn't, you know, you serve her the papers and like she doesn't know what it means, so she stays on, you know. That's not gerushin, right? Even though technically you've done the job. I mean, it has to be, you know, it's the shilcha from his point of view, and it's, you know, midesa, it has to have the effectiveness. I think I mentioned earlier, in part of the Hagdama, it was before, you know, before Rav Yom Kippur, we talked about Kohen Gadol Nasui. So I was pointing out that, you know, the reason that a Kohen Gadol has to be married on Yom Kippur is for, you know, or the Makar in the Gemara and Yuma is because of, you know, V'chiper ba'ado ba'ad beso, and ein beso ela, you know, ishto. So I always thought, again, this is a little bit my speculation, but v'shilcha mi beso, you know, has that meaning too. Meaning he, you know, he expels her, you know, not only from the house, but, you know, from the status of beso, you know. And, so again, we don't need to discuss more, but the need for Eide Kiyum, all of these things all betoken a certain formalism and a certain breakdown in this, you know, like a symbolic way of, as I say, you know, dismantling, you know, the components of the marriage that is very emphatic and very rigorous, and all of which, you know, explains why we're insistent on that nusach, you know, v'kasav lo sefer prisos, you know, v'shilcha mibeso, and it works in perfectly with the idea that, you know, that gerushin reflects, you know, ishus, and itself is not just, you know, the undoing or unraveling, but it's the creation of a new status in the aftermath of the ishus. Okay, so that's where we, that's just an expansion of what we've already discussed. And then we took a little bit of time and we discussed the fact that in the Parsha, it seems like all this leads up, and some of the Mefarshim say this, to, you know, to the Isur of Masu Grushaso, which is really peculiar. There are two peculiar things. On a Parshanut level, the fact that, like, you know, all of the institution of Kiddushin and Gerushin, you know, are a lead up to teach you the din of Masa Grishasa. He does, you have Chayvei, you know, Misa, you know, and like the whole foundation of marital life, and it's all coming to teach you, you know, the Iser of Masa Grishasa, which is a lav. Like it's rare. You know, it's how many Masa Grishasas do we know? Well, there are some. But, you know, it's much rarer than, you know, certainly Kiddushin, and it's much rarer than Gerushin too, obviously. And objectively it would be. It's a subset, and it's also unusual, especially if you say, you know, Lamatzachain Be'enav, you know, he went to all this, we tried to slow him down. We, you know, and how many Masa Grishasas are there going to be? So it's not because of the ubiquity of it, that's for sure. And then we also pointed out that the Gemara in Yevamos in Yud Aleph Amud Beis says that that pasuk, which speaks in very kind of very emphatic, lo yucha bala rishon asher shilcha lashuv lekachta lo liisha acharei asher hu tama ki toivahi lifnei Hashem lo takti isaaretz asher Hashem lekachon nosen lechanachla. So what we tried to point out was that the language of Tumah, the language of Toeva, Lifnei Hashem, the language of being Machti Yisra'aretz, you know, somehow this is like a violation of Nachlas Yisrael. Like, all of this sounds way out of proportion to what we're talking about. But, and partly because of that, the Gemara says in Yevamos, the Rashi quotes it, the Ramban deals with it, we saw the Gemara, that, maybe the Pasuk is speaking about two different issues. Right, one is Sota, and the other is Masa Grishasa. But that created its own problem. Like, why would the Torah? Why would you bundle, you know, two completely different dinim, each of which is important, on one pasuk, and you're torturing the pasuk or contorting the pasuk to get the Sota part in there? And Sota has its own earlier parsha. This is just Litein Lo Sasela. Just find another remez to put the lav into the initial parsha. Just very, very strange. I mean, very strange. The Gemara actually does say that it depends on the machlokes whether or not Masa Grishasa applies even after an intervening Erusin or only after an intervening Nisuin, whether or not this pasuk also teaches the din of Sota. But either way, however you want to explain it, the strong language, the build-up, the shared pasuk, all of it is tamua bioter. So they, again, what we tried to point out is, number one, there's a debate between the Rishonim whether or not you count two or one mitzvah in this pasuk. I mean, the Ramban in Sefer Mitzvot really does count this pasuk, lo yucha bala rishon shashilcha l'shiv l'kachta acharei asher hu tama. He counts it twice. You know, once for Masa Grishasa and once for the lav of Sota. The Rambam in Hilchos Gerushin does not. He says they're all included in one pasuk and they're included in one lav. So that's a very interesting argument. But, you know, ironically or not, even though the Ramban counts it as if they're two separate Isurim, he's also the one who provides, you know, illumination in a way. In his Perish Al HaTorah that we already read, basically where he says that Masa Grishasa, the problem with Masa Grishasa, and the reason it's such a severe violation, is because you're basically making a chuchot klula of marriage and divorce. And it's not Masa Grishasa per se. Masa Grishasa is a highlight, which is what I was saying about the whole parsha, of it's a highlight of Gerushin and Kiddushin. And consequently, that explains the build-up, and it also explains the Tumah and the Toeva and the Lifnei Hashem and the Share. But of course, it's not, you know, Sota is a betrayal within the marriage, and that's unacceptable. That's like the antithesis of Kedushas Ishas. And Masa Grishasa is a betrayal of the institutions of marriage, you know, not of the husband and the wife, but of the halachic categories of the marriage, namely Gerushin and Nisuin, musical marriages or musical divorces. Going from one to the other is, as the Ramban says, al derech hapshat, אחרי אשר הוא תמה לבעל הראשון ירמוז כי כאשר ידעה איש אחר תחשב תומה ואלו מצוס מחודשוס בגטר בחזיר ובתם עליו כדי שלא יחליפו נשוסיהם זה לזה יכתו גט בערב ובבוקר ישב אליו זה תם לא תחתיס הארץ זה סיבה לחתיים גדולת And the Ramban, as he points, he says, It isn't just, you know, that you're warning the husband and the wife, according to the Ramban, according to the Sifrei. It's a warning to Bezin. In Sefer Mitzvos, the Ramban actually counts. It's very interesting. The Rambam, in his Sharashim, says that sometimes the Torah has, like, general... you know, statements about mitzvos. They're like, you know, broad statements, summary statements, tamia mitzvos kind of statements. The first example that he gives is below sachti es ha'aretz in Ma'aser Bereishis. This is like shorash hey. The Rambam says you never count those, you know, because they're not specific mitzvos, you know. Again, you know, all the monia mitzvos, but especially beginning with the Rambam, you know, they're working under like a lot of constraints. You know, if you just add up, you know, the amount of mitzvos and the, you know, if you read, you know, Chumash every week, there are way more than 613. So that's what the Rambam wrote Sharashim for, to try to explain, you know, how he, you know, figured out, you know, what is an independent mitzvah, what gets counted and what doesn't. So one of his principles is, like, you know, if you have like, oh, kdoshim tiyu, he also thinks that, or lo sachtiu esa'ar, lo sachti esa'aretz, you know, etc. You don't count that separately, says the Rambam, because, you know, that's just like a broad explanation. It's not a separate mitzvah. It's not an independent mitzvah. However, in when the Ramban is you know writes his Hasagos on the Rambam's Sharashim, so he says, you know, he argues with this one, with the next one. He agrees with the general principle. He just thinks of the examples. So he quotes lo sachti esa'aretz. He says, no, in my opinion, actually, you should count it separately in Minyan Taryag. It's lahazir bezdin al-kach. This isn't the reason that they shouldn't do it. There's an iser on the parties, meaning the husband and the wife, and there's an iser on bezdin. It's very similar to the Ramban's own view, by the way, of lo siya kadesh and lo yeh kadesh in the end of Devarim, which all the Rishonim struggle to explain. Like, what does that mean? And how's that, what value is, what information or value is that adding to the other dinim that we already know about, you know, Kiddushas, the Lavin and the Essen and the, you know, Onshim of Ishus. So it's a big, big discussion. All the Rishonim, starting from, you know, Rav Sadja Gaon already, you know, weigh in on what is lo yeh kadesh and lo siya kadesh all about. Right? The Ramban's solution to that is that it's not, the question is based on a false premise. The question assumes that we're addressing, you know, the parties themselves. Right? And we're saying, oh, you know, we already said you're not allowed to do this and that, or have this and that kind of relationship. What's the addition of Kadesh and Kadesha? Says Ramban, that's just wrong. It's actually talking to Bezdin. Bezdin is obligated, right, to take responsibility, you know, when it comes to this issue. So I think, he doesn't say it, but I'm suggesting it, that the Ramban is just Lishitasa. Ramban in general has this very interesting view that... you know, that Bezdin, you know, plays a role in Kiddushas Ishus, which is consistent with other things we've discussed, meaning Kiddushas Ishus is an aspect of Kiddushas Yisrael. Just like we find that there can be certain, like, you know, geirios, you know, cases of geirus, which, you know, appear to be only, like, partially effective, or they're partially defective, if you want to put it the other way. Meaning they work for certain things. Somebody's a ger legabe X and not a ger legabe Y. So one of the you know potential demarcations is with regard to Ishus. Like, oh, he's a ger legabe schiyuv mitzvos on a personal level. But he until he does this additional requirement, you know, he can't marry a Bas Yisrael. Meaning, Ishus isn't just a dinim. Ishus, right, is an aspect of Kedushas Yisrael itself. And therefore, the Ramban, in a bunch of places, suggests that the Torah addresses Bezdin and, you know, kind of puts the Ran in the very beginning of Ksubas. You know, the Mishnah there says that if you, that the preferred day to get married is a Wednesday, you know, because that way, if there's any sort of misunderstanding or controversy or whatever it is about the status of the Isha, and, you know, and therefore the status of her Ksuva, so you can resolve the matter quickly, you know, because Thursday Bezdin would be, you know, in session. So that's the first Mishnah in Ksuvas. So all the Rishonim ask, you know, either way, I mean, it's really a spek sveka, where they normally put it, you know, because, you know, even if there was something, some problem, you know, when did it take place, you know, in terms of the, you know, the Arison, how old was the individual, there are all sorts of svekos that make it, you know, likely that even if she wasn't a basula, you know, there could be, you know, enough explanations for it, you know, that there wasn't going to be an economic, you know, or any kind of other problem. So that's the question that they ask, and Bali tells us to say, no, Tavanesha's Kohen, and Pusani Baskin, whatever. They give answers to this question. The Ran's answer to the question is, the Ran says, I mean, I'm paraphrasing, but he says, yeah, if you were talking about, you know, if you were worried about the individuals violating Yisurim, or you know, stealing from each other, then you'd be right. However, says the Ran, this is a din in Bezdin. It's mutal al Bezdin, you know, when there's a suffake, you know, to step in and to check this out. And therefore, even if it's a sveka, even if it's a suffake rachok, you know, this is when Bezdin has an obligation, you know, then then you know, the clarity that and the effort at least needs to come, even in the case. It's a big Kiddush, double Kiddush. It's a double Kiddush. It's a Kiddush that this is Bezdin's, you know, problem somehow, and it's also a Kiddush that somehow we change the, you know, the laws of, you know, what's considered a legitimate, you know, or a far-off concern, you know, based on whose concern it is, and that, you know, Bezdin has to be kind of mitachat l'kol bikoret. You know, they have to have higher standards in terms of at least making an effort to be mavarer, you know, and so on. The truth is, in a get itself, there's a whole discussion whether a get needs a bezdin. Some of the gaonim seem to say that it does, and there's a tshuva of Zarua, which seems to suggest that, and famously, in terms of the achronim, this is probably most known, the Nor Yehuda argued that, you know, really a get needs a bezdin. Most of the makoros and most of the poskim think that not. But it's just very interesting if you do, and it works in very well with this broader idea. So anyways, these are the issues that emerge from discussions of the psukim that we've expanded on. And now I thought we would just move to, you know, the next part, which is, so is there a mitzvah lagaresh or not? Is that part of Taryag Mitzvahs or not? Not sure if we started this or not, but if we did, we just made reference. So it's interesting to compare again the relationship between Kiddushin and Gerushin. Is there a mitzvah l'kadesh? Is there a mitzvah l'garesh? So I think it's fair to say that logically, you know, we would all understand the position that even if there's a mitzvah l'kadesh, or likely that there is a mitzvah l'kadesh, it's more difficult to understand that there's a mitzvah l'garish, right? Just, you know, misvara. Obviously, kiddushin is a positive thing, and, you know, it's a kumbase, we want people to get married, it's a linchpin in, you know, in building families, which is the foundation of Kal Yisrael, the cornerstone of the community. It's also about personal, you know, fulfillment, as we, you know, saw even in Bereishis, Lo Tova Yos Adam Levado, right? The Ezer Kenegdo, the Dabak Beishto, And of course, a get is something which, you know, is sometimes necessary and sometimes permissible, but is always a bidyabed in that sense. It's an unhappy event. And, you know, even the fact that there is such an institution, as we'll discuss, you know, is something to think about. So the idea that even if Kiddushin is a mitzvah, you know, Gerushin, you know, would not be, you know, certainly not Kiyum in the normal sense, is very reasonable. Moreover, we're all familiar with, the brachos that are associated, you know, with Ishus, right? Typically, you have a mitzvah, you know, birchas mitzvah. So we're familiar with the fact that there is a bracha that is said under the chuppah, a very long bracha made by the Masada Kedushin in our time, and the Rambam thought it should be made by the Chasan, right? Asher Kedushan b'mitzvosav v'tzivanu al arayos, right? V'asar lanu v'sarusos, v'hitir lanu v'sanesuos, lanu ayidei chuppah v'kiddushin. And of course, Shabbat brachos that are recited, you know, under the chuppah and during the Shiva Sfei Mishnah, maybe those are more birchas shabbach, without going into details, we just had the opportunity in the past. But there are numerous brachos associated. There are no brachos associated with a get, right? And none of us are, I think, particularly disturbed, you know, by that as well. If anything, if there were brachos, we would, you know, probably be surprised at that. So both in terms of just objectively how, you know, I think properly we perceive the difference between Kiddushin and Gerushin, as well as, you know, a reflection of that in something like brachos, it seems like a very reasonable position that just, even if there is a mitzvah, l'kadesh, or a mitzvah associated with Kiddushin, that doesn't necessarily mean that there is a parallel with regard to Gerushin. On the other hand, you know, iskish, you know, havaya, liyatsiya, v'yatsav haisa, there's a lot of, you know, parallels between Kiddushin and Gerushin. And that in itself is fascinating because, on the one hand, they're moving in opposite directions, and on the other hand, you know, they're mirror images of each other. So it's something to think about, it's something to wonder about. Just like we noted, you know, that there are multiple ways to get married and only one way to get divorced, you know, what about the question of mitzvah? So with regard to Kiddushin, a good way to, you know, kind of think about it, is that there are basically three shittos, so we're not going to, I'm going to mention them, but we're not going to analyze them because that's not our topic. Our topic is more Gerushin. There are Rishonim who seem to think that, you know, Kiddushin is not a mitzvah. Ki yikach ish isha, you know, they have it as a that or if, not a, you know, when. Even the Rosh, famously in Ksuvis, you know, seems to say that maybe Kiddushin is a hechsher to Pir Yibarivya, or Kiddushin and Nisuin, the period of Arivia, and that's why it's a very unusual, the Rosh argues that the Birchas Eirusin isn't really a Birchas HaMitzvah, that's why it's so long and, you know, complicated and complex. The Bahag, the Urayim, there are those who don't count even Kiddushin as a mitzvah. Some of the Monia mitzvahs, the earlier ones, the Gaonic ones, counted Kiddushin as a Parsha, Kiddushin and Gerushin as Parshios, but not as mitzvahs. They have like, they broke it up differently. The Rambam has Essen and Lavin. Some of the Bahag and Reb Sajidon and some of the others, they had like Parshios, you know, and then they had Essen and Lavin, you know, but so by putting Kiddushin and Gerushin in Parshios, it's a way of saying they're not really mitzvahs in that sense. So there are those who think that neither of them are mitzvahs. Certainly those who think that Kiddushin, but the vast majority of Rishonim do think that Kiddushin is a mitzvah, do count it in their minyan taryag. And what's interesting is that there are two ways that they count it. One way is the way that we would have expected or anticipated. Like if I say to you, like, you know, how would you describe the mitzvah of Kiddushin? Like, what is the mitzvah of Kiddushin? So, again, unless somebody has too much knowledge, or is very contrarian, you know, they would say, you know, the pashtus, that there's a mitzvah to get married, to find the right wife, you know, and to get married. I mean, it's a kumvase, Lisa Isha, correct? And indeed, if you look at this smag, sounds that way. The smack is even more explicit. I'm trying to remember if I what I put here and what I did not. I think I didn't put it all. Yeah. If you look at the smag on page 2, probably sefer mitzvahs gadol essen simin memches mitzvahs hasei lekadesh isha bekesef o bishtar o b'bia v'kulam be'edim. The question: how to read it a little bit? Does he mean mitzvahs hasei lekadesh isha? You know, that you read like, you know, very, you know, without emphasis, and they say, Bekesef, Obishtar, Bebiya, Bekulam, Be'edim, and then it's more like, as I'll explain the Rambam in a minute, or is it Mitzaseh Lekadesh? You know, there's an obligation to be Mekadesh, to get married. I'm assuming that that's more in tune with the Bali Tosis mentality. Certainly the smack, which I don't have here on Kiddushin, I have the Gittin one, which I'll get to in a minute, the smack is very explicit. That when it comes to Kiddushin, the mitzvah is to find a wife, to find the right wife, to kumbase, get married. However, what's interesting is that if you look at the smack, he says the same thing about Geirushin. But if you look at the smag, it sounds like he changed his tone between Geirushin and Kiddushin. So if you look at the smag, the smack, sorry. Sefer Mitzvah Katan Mitzvah Kuf Pei Dalet. The only thing is you need to take my word for the Kiddushin part. But you can look it up. So it's a Milsa David Liguye, as they say. So what is the Mitzvah Ligaresh? Ligaresh Es HaIsha. Right? To divorce. What do you mean? It's just there's an obligation to divorce your wife. Chalila. Ligaresh Es HaIsha. To Siv Ki Matza Ervas Dabar Bekasa LaSefer Kisa V'Nasa B'Yada. Ervas davar kagon oberes al das Moshe. I mean, if her behavior is such that it is incompatible with kedushas ishas, right? Oberes al das Moshe machilaso shein amuusar. She feeds him, she puts on the menu non-kosher food. She not mafresh trumas amaisers misham shaso nida. She violates and causes him to violate, taras hamishpacha lo kotzol lachala. The noderes veina mekayemes ukegon oberes al das yehudis sheyotze b'shuk rosho parua. She doesn't dress properly and cover properly. Afilu kalas al rosha imosos ishus harav. Meaning, it's not a mitzvah legarish as ishto. It's very conditional. If the circumstances are such that she, is toxic, to the marriage, or to the, the kedusha of the household, then under these, in other words, the mitzvah lekadesh of the Sefer Mitzvahs Katan is, to find the right person and to get married under all, circumstances. And the mitzvah legaresh is, in the pasuk itself, it's introduced. V'haya in lo matza chen be'enav, right? Or matza la badvar erva. So then those circumstances create a mitzvah legarish, which makes sense. But if you look at the smag, there I put both of them. I should put both for the smag too. So again, when it comes to memches, it's mitzvah say lekadesh. I'm assuming he means it, kumbase lekadesh. But when it comes to gerushin, that's missing. V'haya im lo timsachein, this is nun, the second entry, because of the sefer krisis, the nasan biyada, the shulchan bibeso, the mikra zelamadnu, ikare hagerushin, the hemasar dvarim in Torah. Ooh, that's a very different tone. He doesn't say mitzvah lagaresh, avra, the shuk, the rosha, parua, or, this or that or the next thing, in shimsha, saso, nida, etc. He says, basically, the dinim of get, almost like the parsha. It's like saying there's a parsha of gittin and a mitzvah of kiddusha. So while the smack creates the parallelism, albeit he has to compensate for it by limiting, the circumstances, because otherwise it doesn't make any sense. But the smag is basically saying, there's a mitzvah in both these cases, but they're fundamentally different. Right?
What's the
makar
for
Rosh Hashanah? What do you mean, the makar? Well, I don't want to get that. That's Das Moshe, Das Yehudis. The Gemara has it a little bit here, too, in Sadi Obed Beis.
Is Machlan one for that?
I mean, the Das Yehudis is considered Drabanan. Das Moshe, you know, which we'll get to in our Gemara in Sadi Obed Beis, is Daraisa. Machilasa, Shem Chalusa, Mashem,
you know, all those.
Daraisa. We'll see. That's according to some, that's included under the rubric, the Daraisas anyway, but maybe even the Drabanans of Matzah by Erva Samar. Does Erva Samar mean, you know, actual Begida? Actual, you know, in other words, a Maisa Bia Asura, Eishasish, or does it mean, you know, a broader, we'll get to that. Either way, so if you look at the Rivash, also you find the same idea. So the Rivash is on page 3. Is it on page 3?
28. Yeah.
Shuta Rivash Simen Shin Tzadiches. It says, Ubevadai Shelekichas Isha Bekidushim Mitzvah Sase. He says, certainly, you know, getting married, right, lekichas isha b'kiddushin, is a positive commandment. Ve'eino din labad. What does he mean? I mean, it's not just like a parsha. You know, it's not just a conglomeration of, you know, it's not an institution. It's also a mitzvah, right? What's a proof? Just a fascinating tshuva. Sha'arei tiknu b'bracha. Right? Kishara mitzvos. He's assuming that the bracha is a birchas mitzvah, so that's a further indication that it is a mitzvah. Apal pi shelo tiknu a bracha b'mabeah katzar, which is what bothered, and he knew this. The Rosh said that's no birchas mitzvah. Birchas mitzvah is, you know, laniach tefillin, you know, al mitzvahs tzitzis. That's a birchas mitzvah. Like, it's too long, it's too complicated, it's talking about Isurim. You know, how could that be? That's the Rosh's argument. So the Rivash relates to that. He says, He Leos b'mitzvah zu kedusha yiseir li Yisrael b'inyan azivug. Very beautiful idea. He says, you know, it's not stala mitzvah. The mitzvah isn't just to, it is to get married, but the reason that you're supposed to get married is because of the Kedusha Yisera that is associated b'inyan azivug. And therefore, the bracha is way more complicated because it's really addressing what that is. That's what I've suggested over the years, that, you know, for the Rambam, who clearly says that birchas erusin is a birchas mitzvah, which he does, and he uses the expression, you know, kol mitzvos mevarchin aleihem over l'asiyasan. And that's why it has to be by, he really thinks the chassam makes the, you know, bracha, it has to be in advance. What do you do with the Rosh's claim that this isn't a typical, the answer is it's exactly what the Rivash says. If you think about it, well, the Rambam works even better, as I'll explain, but it's a perfect bracha for that mitzvah, you know. It's not typical, because it isn't a typical mitzvah. Okay. V'hi ke'ein birchas ha-shevach. It's a berachas mitzvah, but because it's about kedusha yisera, you're waxing about the kedusha yisera li Yisrael b'inyan azivug. It's a berachas shevach. Ulefi dvarecha, right? Ein kan mitzvah klal. Shari b'yichud levad, hi eishas ish gemura. Beina kedushin osin, rakhiv mitzvah lavo aleha. The lama tiknu bracha al mitzvah kazushi din levat. I mean, the person he was corresponding with was obviously making the argument that kiddushin is not a mitzvah. Kiddushin is a din, and you know it's the nesuin, you know, which makes the ishus, and then you b'yichud levat hi ishus ish gemura, and the kiddushin is just, you know, an oser, right? And that oser, that iser of ishus ish and chiyuv misa, that's not, you know, the mitzvah. So he says, so why is there a bracha? Right? Chiyuv Misas Hanoef, below the number, making a bracha about, you know, these contingencies, these unhappy, you know, contingencies, that make a bracha. Ella, he, mitzvah gemura. Right? But why am I telling you this now? We're not learning Kiddushin. The lodomi legerushin. Shehi din bilvad. Din levad. But get, that is a parsha. That's only an institution. That's not a mitzvah. Sharei, yesh gerushin, shasanui hamishaleach. The Gemara is going to tell us, we're going to read this Gemara. I don't think we can get there today because we have to finish soon. But next week we'll read the Gemara and Daf Tzadi. That the Gemara says about certain megarshim, right? That they're sonui, right? We take a very strong dislike to them. We were unhappy about an unjustified get. But megarish ishto rishona, afilu mizbeach morid olav demos. Yach begerushin tanya besof gittin shim haisa yotza, right? Verosha parua without a head covering. Verochetzas b'mokom shivni adam rochatzim sham. Right? Again, the unsneistic behavior. So mitzvah min haTorah legarsha shenemar ki matza ba'ervas damar v'kasav la, etc. V'im nasa acher, right? Meaning masu b'shasa gadol ansho shenemar ki yamos ha'isha achron. Hinei she'af al bishem mitzvah zui din. Hinei yesh ba mitzvah mamish. So now he's kind of, you know, waffling whether gerushin is only a din, or since in circumstances where, again, the standards of the ishus have plummeted, you know, in those situations the right thing is to be megarish. So does that mean that it's a mitzvah? So he's saying af al bishem mitzvah he din. So why don't you make a bracha before he brought the raya for the bracha? She'ein mevarchen ala kalkala. He's still not going to make a bracha over it because it's an all. Can you imagine you're going to make a bracha over the gerushin, even if it's justified? That's not what a bracha is. K'mo she'ein kohen amashkes hasota mevarech. V'lo achole tesyevemto v'domeh. It's a fascinating tshuva. Okay. 1 second. Yeah, okay, we'll leave that. Anyways, so it emerges from the Rivash. Yeah.
Could perhaps say that it's simply a mitzvah to, it's like an action to uphold the law. In other words, if the law is to lo tachat yisaretz, assuming that that's sort of the greater point of Masi Grishasa, then when we find Matzah by Erev Asadavar, there's a certain expansion of that. I mean, that's the whole idea, that this is the climax of reflecting on what Gittin is.
I don't think he's saying that, but I think it's an interesting
idea. Yeah, I thought I was being medic in the words, but it's not.
Yeah, he definitely doesn't say that. But here,
I say is a broader kind of idea, that a person is mitzvah legarsh, not mitzvah.
For the same reason that the Mizbeach is morid ma'os, and it's sonui mishalcho, when it's unjustified, or in the case of Mizbeach, it's just, even if it's justified, just but it's just a sad, objectively sad thing, you're saying, but, you know, for that very same reason, you know, it's a sad mitzvah, but a mitzvah, because
it's a meaning, it's a virtuous idea.
Well, you have to do it.
Yeah.
Right. Number one, you're obligated. Number two, you're doing it from a kedusha. Right. Well, as we'll see, I'm going to make that suggestion. That's a very creative way of looking at psukim. I mean, you have to assume that the losakdeus arts is already, you know, kind of the target, you know, of the gerushin part, not just the car target of the Maksim Groshoso musical, you know, marriages and divorces part.
Working backwards, I mean, it's really
right, but I wasn't necessarily saying that all the pieces of that pasuk are from there. I'm just saying, if you like, you know, what really highlights, you know, this perspective on gerushin, you know, is the climax. You know, the Isar being, you know, Masir Grushaso, that, like, you know, even though it's rare, and even though it's allowed, you know, the very fact that it is sharing with Sota, you know, makes, and, you know, its implications make it like the perfect climax for it. You're saying more than that. You're saying that even the words in the Pasuk, in a way, Losachti, Sa'aretz, and Toeva, even those go on, you know, the previous cases to some extent.
So
that, I think, is mechut. I wouldn't dismiss it. I think it's an interesting idea. Yeah. But I don't think the Rivash is saying it. I think, like in the psukim, you have to think about whether or not But I think in the broad concept is true. I just don't know whether, you know, you can apply those words in the psukim already across, you know, that amount of space, you know, kind of. But here, I hear it. Anyway, so the Rivash is basically saying Kiddushin is a Badai mitzvah, in the way he's describing it, a Kiyum as well, a Chiyuv, to get married. Gerushin is, you know, Muskal Rishon is, no, it's just a din. There's no bracha for that reason, etc. And then he's, as he's going on, he's, maybe it's a special din, in Mavarchin ala Kalkala, you know, maybe it is kind of a mitzvah, and so on. So if you look at the Tshuva Sarajba that precedes it, so this is a very famous Tshuva Sarajba. It's the, we've had this in the past, you know, it always, you know, comes up. It's the tshuva of Rabbi Yosef Ibn Palat, you know, and the Ravi Avad, the father-in-law of the Ravid. They were asked this question, like, how come certain mitzvahs get a bracha and certain mitzvahs don't get a bracha? You know, so, you know, what about tzedakah? What about, all these kind of, you know, what about emunah? You know, we've seen this in the past. It's a very, you know, a very fascinating exchange of the early Rishonim. So the Rajba has a version of it. Kelek Aleph Siman Yud Ches. You have to look at the different versions. They say some of these things in different ways. I just don't want to get, you know, too bogged down in this. I want to discuss it because I think it's important. But, you know, the Abu Dram is a slightly different formulation than the Tshuva Sarajba. But anyway, the Rajba has like this. The Chen al Gerushin is trying to explain why there's no bracha for Gerushin. So he says, the Chen al Gerushin, Bishim V'yesh Miktas HaGerushin, Shehein Ba'aveira. It's pretty interesting, right? He's saying the reason there's no bracha in Gerushin is because some of the cases, right, are Ba'aveira. Kagon, Shaloma Tzava Davar Aveira, or Dvar Aveira, Umbagarsha, Sasanui, Amshaleach. Then he explains, Afa Bishesh Mitzvah B'miktsasan, but in some of the cases it's obligatory and virtuous, as you say. Kigon osan nashim, this is already very interesting. Till now we've been looking at, like we'll see in the case of the Gemara and Daf Tzadi Amadeus also, that when the Gemara says mitzvah legarish, etc., and they don't necessarily mean in the minyan a mitzvah sedaraisa sense, they might be saying it more colloquially, like, you know, this is what you should do, or it's the right thing to do. It's the Eitz HaTova, according to Knesset HaGedolah, quoted by the Mishnah Malach. But the case that we've been seeing are talk like behavior within the marriage, like, you know, there's a marriage and then she's feeding him tray for food. She's behaving in a, you know, an improper, promiscuous, whatever it is, not in a modest, you know, fashion. What about other, you know, issues? Like, you know, it's chai delavin. Like it's a kohen marrying a grusha. So he's not supposed to marry her to begin with. But she's behaving perfectly fine in the wedding, in the marriage, right? Is that also mitzvah legarish in the same way, or just that he shouldn't have any relationship with her? So that's very interesting. He says, V'afa b'sheish mitzvah b'tzasan, first example he gives is, k'don osan dashim shenasa b'aveira, right? That could be better, could be worse, right? Shem mitzvah legarishon. So what's different about the Rajba than the Rivash is, number one, it seems clearly that he's saying that there is a mitzvah for, in those cases where you're supposed to be Megarish, it's actually a mitzvah. Number two, even though he's not actually endorsing a bracha for Gerushin, right, it's only because of Lo Plug. What he is saying is, you know, if the only cases of Gerushin were cases of mitzvah, we'd make the bracha.
Wow.
Right? Even though you could still say it's like kind of a la kalkala, you know, like chalitza. Nobody did anything wrong in chalitza. Right? But it's just like, you know, you're supposed to do it, you know, but is it really bracha material? You know what I mean? So the Rajma is saying it would be, but low plug. Right? So, and if you look in the Abu Dram, he also has, again, the extension to other cases. So that's all, there's a tshuva, this same tshuva discusses, you know, what about Yibum? That's great. That's one of the reasons, that one of the things they discussed. So, it is, but it's also, you know, a sad case of, the death of the first husband, and it's knocking out, the Isurei Shesach. So that's an interesting question.
What about, does anyone ask about Chalitza also?
Yeah. I'm saying, well the Rivash mentioned Chalitza. And that this Chuvah, so I just didn't bring that part of the Rajba into it, but yeah. The Rivash was quoting Chalitza as an example. Afa pisha mitzvah, ein mevarchen ala kalkola, kamo shein koin nashke sota, velo choleitz es yivemto. But there are some people think even an Yibum not. Because again, it's a different kind of an issue, the circumstances. Like, what is it? Is it the, it comes from an Aveira? Here, Yibum doesn't come from an Aveira. But if it's more like, to make a bracha, something has to be, the entire background has to be also, kind of a lechatchila. So Yibum is tainted in that respect. So these are all interesting. Yibum is a big discussion. In the Abudram, I think I was saying Tshuva Rabbi Yosef Ibn Palat is quoted a little bit differently. The example there of the mitzvah is a case where they didn't have children, after a certain amount of time. So Midrabanan, the Chachamim say that that there should be a gerushin, so you could have the opportunity of period of Aridia. So that, of course, is fascinating because that, no one did anything wrong there. That's just a sad, situation. So, meaning anytime you're supposed to, the halacha wants you to get divorced, or because it was a problem in the marriage, or because it was a problem marrying to begin with. Right? These are all different cases. You could draw the line in different places. But what emerges is that there's a very interesting argument, about the relationship between gerushin and kedushin as a mitzvah. What kind of mitzvah it is, or whether it's a mitzvah. And, everybody seems to agree there's no bracha, but is that for more technical reasos of, kind of lo plug, or is it, or a la kalkola, or is it because it's not that kind of a mitzvah? These are all interesting. Now, what is the Rambam Shita? With this, I'll stop. And we'll pick up on this and the Ben Noach part when we finish this Emir Tashem next time. And then we'll go to the Gemara. I want to go through the Gemara in Tzadi, Amud Aleph, and Amud Beis, and then we'll start back from the beginning. So the Rambam has, as I've said other times, a slightly different Shita. The Rambam's view is that there is a mitzvah l'kadesh, and there's a mitzvah l'garesh, and they are parallel to each other. But in both cases, the mitzvah is not to get married or to get divorced, even in circumstances where, is the reasonable or proper or even the imperative thing to do. For the Rambam, the mitzvah is always couched about around the method. In other words, if you look at the Rambam, here, is this on page 2 for you, in the Koteret, or is it still on the bottom of page 1? Rambam Hilchos Gerushin Akdama. Hilchos Gerushin Yesh Bechalon Shtei Mitzvos. Achas Mitzvos Asei. Hushi Garish HaMegarish B'Sefer. Even though the Gemara in Gittin, which we'll see, Tzadi on the base, and the Gemara in Yevamos, Lamed Zayin, uses the expression of Mitzvah Megarish in these kind of cases, when she's behaving this way, da-da-da-da-da-da, and the Rambam quotes those in Hilchos Gerushin, Hilchos Yisrei Bia, but he thinks that the word mitzvah there is a melitza. Even though he thinks there is a mitzvah, but for the Rambam, the mitzvah is not to divorce under certain conditions. It's the method of divorcing with a sefer under all conditions. When you divorce, doing it the right way is the mitzvah. That's what's fascinating in the Rambam. Hushi Garish Amagarish B'Sefer. And that's also in Sefer Mitzvos. I'm sorry, in Perikala Palachalit. Ein Isha Viskoreshus on the Biksav, Shiagil on the Biksav, Zer Nikra Get. Although it's interesting that in Kiddushin he starts speaking about the mitzvah right in the body of the text. And in Hibbos Gerushin, he doesn't mention the mitzvah anywhere, in the beginning, aside from the Koteret, and in Sefer Mitzvos. If you look in Sefer Mitzvahs, Reish Kaf Beis, HaMitzvah Reish Kaf Beis, Shetzivanu Legarish Bishtar, Al Kalpanim, Kishenirtzu Legarish. Same idea. But he doesn't mention it in the Halachos, whereas when it comes to Hilchos Ishus, the Ram says, Lisa Isha Biksuva Vikidushin, and then Kishenirtzu Ish Lisa Isha, right, he should do that, Bikidushin, and then he says, V'likuchin Eilu Mitzvah Seishal Torein, and say from it. Meaning for the Rambam, both Gerushin and Kiddushin revolve around the method. The method is the mitzvah, not the kumbase. I think I mentioned this when we were talking about Kohen Gadol Nasui. I think I mentioned that, in my opinion, the only time I'm aware of that the Rambam ever has a mitzvah to get married is for the Kohen Gadol to marry him soon, which is fascinating. Anyway, so that's the Rambam, and that's the Sefer Chinuch, both in Gerushin and in the Sui, just very influenced by the Rambam and even more explicit. If you look on page 2, say, Mitzvah al harotza legarish asishto sheigarshanu bishtar. Okay? And again, shenit slavenu kishen nirtza legarish nishosenu legarish osam biksa. So this is part of a larger idea that I believe I discussed other times, and that is, you know, that for the Rambam, the methodology sometimes underscores what is unique about the halachic approach to things. So that's what I want to pick up next time. I want to talk very briefly about the Rishalmi and the Rambam's view about the Kiddushin and especially the Gerushin of a Ben Noach, to try to bring home this point that I'm making now. And then I want to go through quickly the Gemara on Sadi Amid Aleph and Sadi Amid Beis, which is the last sugya in Gittin, but, you know, I think it's a good starting point. So, and then we'll start, you know, doing, you know, from the beginning.